What if the very thing we've been medicating away is actually trying to wake us up? After 2 decades of groundbreaking neuroscience research, we now have hard evidence that spirituality isn't just comforting, it's protective. MRI scans reveal that people who engage their spiritual awareness show dramatically thicker cortical regions in the exact areas that weaken in depression. We're talking about an 80% reduction in depression risk when both parent and child share spiritual practice, a protection rate no pharmaceutical has ever matched. Yet walk into most therapists' offices and mention a spiritual experience and watch how quickly the conversation shifts back to childhood wounds. We've built an entire mental health system that treats the human spirit like an embarrassing relative no one wants to acknowledge at dinner. Sometimes the most revolutionary discoveries hide in plain sight. Buried in 15 years of longitudinal data were 2 spirituality questions researchers had included almost as an afterthought. When I analyzed that data, I found something that made me check my calculations 3 times. Children whose mothers shared their spiritual practice showed an 80% reduction in depression risk, even when controlling for poverty, genetics, and parenting style. This wasn't a modest correlation. This was a 5-fold reduction, the largest protective effect anywhere in resilience literature. Then came the twin studies, the gold standard of genetic research. By comparing identical twins with fraternal twins, scientists determined that spirituality is 29% heritable. We're born with a capacity for transcendent awareness as innate as eye color. Even more striking, adolescents with strong personal spirituality were 40 to 80% less likely to develop substance abuse and 35 to 75% less likely to experience clinical depression. No prevention program, no medication, no therapy technique has ever approached those numbers. Picture a psychiatric ward where patients shuffle in hospital gowns, their invisible wounds treated like broken bones. Morning meetings focus on whether someone brushed their teeth, not whether they feel connected to anything beyond their suffering. This was the world I entered as a young psychology intern in Manhattan, a place where inch-thick files documented decades of readmissions, but rarely captured moments of genuine healing. We practiced psychodynamic therapy, excavating childhood traumas with archaeological precision, teaching patients they were prisoners of their past. Then there was Mr. Danner, a former heroin dealer whose 5-inch medical file chronicled 20 years of relapses. Every session, he recited the same story about viewing his mother's coffin at age 4, a narrative he'd been trained to fixate on through years of treatment. When I shifted from excavating his past to honoring his present, something changed. He started bathing regularly, staying clean, and one day described eating a steak dinner with such dignity it brought tears to my eyes. Connection and respect accomplished what decades of trauma-focused therapy hadn't. During a Yom Kippur service, 4 severely ill psychiatric patients gathered for Judaism's holiest day. Jerry, who rarely spoke, confidently proclaimed his belief in an all-powerful God of goodness. Sol, terrified of human connection, leaned toward me with compassion. God will forgive you. Each person accessed parts of themselves that months of conventional treatment hadn't touched, not through therapeutic technique, but through spiritual connection. When I excitedly shared this breakthrough with my supervisor, her response was ice cold. These patients are very sick. This is a hospital. 13-year-old Ileana arrived hunched and defensive. Her father had been murdered, her mother was an addict, and her grandmother kept her imprisoned in their Washington Heights apartment. Her depression score was 27, severe by any measure, despite cognitive behavioral therapy, interpersonal therapy, and improved home conditions, her scores plateaued at 16-18. Then, one afternoon, she walked in transformed. Her depression score had plummeted to 3, nearly asymptomatic. While riding the bus home, she'd felt a presence beside her, like someone watching over her. "I don't feel alone anymore," she said. She'd experienced a fundamental shift from isolation to connection, from powerless to held. My supervisor dismissed it as cultural background noise, but Ileana's brain had literally rewired itself through spiritual experience. By 2009, neuroimaging made the invisible visible. High-risk individuals with depressed parents showed up to 28% cortical thinning, a physical signature of inherited depression risk. But those with strong spiritual practice showed robust cortical thickness, what we called the red brain. EEG studies revealed high-amplitude alpha waves in spiritually engaged people, identical to patterns in meditating monks and people on antidepressants. Most remarkably, those who'd recovered from major depression showed the strongest spiritual brain activity. fMRI scans of people recalling spiritual experiences revealed two distinct modes of awareness. Achieving awareness activates the insula and striatum brain regions, driving motivation and reward seeking, but when overactive, anxiety and craving. This is the "how can I get and keep what I want" mode, necessary for focused work, yet when it dominates, it carves neural pathways of stress and isolation. Awakened awareness looks completely different. The default mode network quiets. The ventral attention network lights up, allowing unexpected but meaningful perceptions. The frontotemporal network engages, strengthening connection to others. This is the "what is life showing me now" mode. The neurosignature was identical, whether someone experienced spiritual awareness in a cathedral or forest. Elena spent 3 years as a Buddhist nun cultivating awakened awareness with extraordinary dedication, but when she returned to daily life, she couldn't function. One day, she stood on her lawn waiting for the Dalai Lama to physically pick her up because she'd felt spiritually called. She'd developed one mode so exclusively that she'd lost the integration necessary for functioning. Most of us live almost exclusively in achieving mode, organizing, controlling, pursuing, worrying. Brain scans show the cost. The default mode network becomes hyper-connected internally and hypo-connected externally, creating perfect conditions for rumination and depression. But people with quest orientation, those who remain open to meaningful questions, embrace doubt as positive, and stay receptive to change, show high white matter integrity connecting multiple brain regions. Their achieving and awakened awareness are in dialogue, creating neural coherence instead of compartmentalization. Awakened awareness is cultivable. Start by quieting the little me that narrates your life. Mindfulness activates your prefrontal cortex while deactivating rumination centers, creating space for insight. Nature produces similar effects, reducing anxiety while improving working memory. Try the three doors exercise. Draw your life as a road, marking closed doors, disappointments, losses, rejections. Identify what new doors opened because of those closures and who guided you forward. This trains your brain to perceive patterns of guidance you've been missing. Or try guided visualization, inviting presences into your awareness as perception that detects real information your achieving brain filters out. While genetics accounts for 1/3 of your spiritual potential, 2/3 comes from cultivation. Unlike medication that stops working when discontinued, neural pathways built through spiritual practice become self-reinforcing, creating lasting transformation rather than temporary relief. When meditating partners are separated into shielded rooms, their brainwaves synchronize. When one receives light flashes, the other's brain registers those stimuli 25% of the time, despite no physical exposure. Group prayer accelerates this entrainment, making spiritual states nearly contagious. EEG studies confirm emotional synchronization triggers brain synchronization in alpha waves from the parietal region, the exact area showing cortical thickening in spiritually awakened adults. When healers sent compassionate intentions from a separate building, patients' brains showed activity in specific regions at precisely the right moments, with odds and chance less than 1 in 10,000. At a Manhattan homeless shelter, we tested this with at-risk youth through weekly sessions incorporating sound bowl vibrations and visualizations of sending and receiving love. Participants showed significant decreases in depression and anxiety, with improved interpersonal functioning. Young men who'd been rivals began connecting. Depression and spirituality share significant neural real estate. Some depression might be a call for spiritual awakening we've been medicating into silence. The brain vulnerable to despair may also be wired for transcendence, two sides of the same coin. Cutting-edge science confirms what Indigenous peoples have known for millennia. Reality is fundamentally relational. Research across 5,500 participants from India, China, and the United States revealed five universal spiritual capacities hardwired into our species: altruism, love of neighbor, sense of oneness, practice of sacred transcendence, and adherence to moral code. The awakened brain isn't exclusive to monks or mystics, it's your birthright. Brain imaging shows contemplative practices activate similar neural networks across diverse populations, regardless of religious background. Daily lived altruism appears potentially curative for depression by drawing people out of isolation into accurate perception of life's interconnected nature. We stand at a threshold. We can treat depression as a chemical imbalance to be medicated or recognize it as a call for awakening. We can raise children who believe their isolated selves competing for scarce resources or help them perceive their fundamental belonging. The science now proves spirituality is essential for human flourishing. Your brain is already wired for transcendence. The question is, will you use it?